So we have been going through the themes of Advent this year, for the last 4 weeks. And so by way of kind of helping everyone get caught up who hasn't been a part of our service for the last 4 weeks, we have a special presentation from the Redstone Kids. They are going to give their own rendition of the Christmas story. So it's going to be up on the screen. Guys, you can cue that up. And yeah, we'll watch that and then we'll move into the message.
A fairy angel come to Mary and he said, "You are going to have a baby named Jesus of the Son of God. And he's going to be king." So this was a Mary and a baby Jesus. And then journey to Bethlehem. And there was no room for them.
When they got to Bethlehem, all the inns were full.
And then they got a barn.
But when they found the stable, Joseph made a bed for Mary. And then when Mary was going to have her baby, Joseph made a bed for Jesus.
God was born in a stable with Joseph and Mary. Then there was angels that was at the field, and then them traveled to Bethlehem with gifts, and then saw the baby.
Then when some shepherds came to see him, they were surprised. And then the wise men came and brought gifts. They were so happy that they worshiped Jesus.
The end.
Thanks for watching. Bye.
There we go. So, yeah, I think that's one of them was a little nervous about you watching that, so I appreciate the applause. It's not easy to be in the pastor's kid sometimes. You gotta sometimes get put to work. So yeah, we've been doing the Advent. So Advent, the four themes are hope, peace, joy, and love. And so we've been looking at different stories and how Mary was the epitome of needing hope in this situation. How Joseph, with the challenges he would face, would need an amazing amount of peace. The shepherds, who were in such a tough situation, needed joy to carry them through, and how an encounter with Jesus changed everything. And on Sunday, we talked about how when it comes to love, there really is no greater expression than the love that God showed us, especially when we come to the Christmas season, when he did not even withhold his own son for us, but gave him as a sacrifice so you and I could remove that barrier between us and God and have a thriving relationship with him. But all along, we've left out an often key part of the Christmas story. And so tonight, we're going to look at the story of the wise men, as Tay reminded us at the end. After the shepherds, we read that the wise men come. So we're in Matthew 2. The scriptures will be on the screen. You can follow along. We're going to read the story, and then I have a few thoughts to share with you this evening. Matthew 2, starting in verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. You, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. They told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. When you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way. The star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So this story, if you've grown up in church, you know lots of those details. But there's a few things going on in this story that I want to draw out that sometimes gets missed if you don't know the context. So wise men from the east. When it says east, we're not talking like they came from Redverse, okay? That is not what it means by east. These wise men were probably from Babylon or Persia. And they would have come into contact with the Jewish literature from the time of the exile. Daniel, of course, we have in scripture, was one of the great advisors of the kings of Persia and Babylon. And so it became standard practice for these men of the East, it says, to study these scriptures because Daniel was so influential. He had such a huge impact on these empires. And so these wise men are not just a few kilometers away. We believe that based on studying what we know, they came 900 miles to see Jesus. I want you to think of that number, okay? Who here is traveling 900 miles in the near future by road, okay? And so even for us, 900 miles is still daunting, even with our souped up trucks and our really nice cars, with the entertainment system for the kids to just be nuts. Did I lose it? Oh, we're still good. All right. Right, like 900 miles, it's still like, can I leave the kids at home? That is a big trip. But we're not talking about the 21st century. We're not talking about driving at 100 mile an hour down the freshly paved highway. No, we're talking about a group of men who traditionally we say three, but there's probably more, traveling 900 miles by camel. The average speed of a camel, if they went from start to finish straight through without stopping, it would have taken them 36 days of consecutive travel to get to Jerusalem. Now, I don't know if you know how camels work, but they don't just walk continuously. They need a break. They need water. They need food. People need water. They need food. It's mostly desert they're walking through, so they had to take shelter. And so even 36 days isn't even an accurate description of it. It was probably more like 72. Let's say it doubled the length for rest and injury and all. So 2.5 months to leave Persia and get to Jerusalem. You have to be pretty committed to finding this Messiah, right? Imagine that conversation, because it's not just 2.5 months of travel, because you got to get there, and you know, then they have to find the baby, and then once they find them, then they have to go back. So let's say 7 months to give them time to prepare for the trip, give them time to make the trip, find the baby, come back. Imagine that conversation with the spouse. "Hey, I've been reading a 100-year-old book, and I have this firm belief that there's something out there I need to go find, so I'm going to put our lives on hold for the next 7 months. Do you mind?" I can imagine that conversation in my house. My wife is very accommodating with all my crazy moving around and doing what we need to do, but that one probably goes beyond the limit of what is acceptable. 7 months, 900 miles by camel. And they arrive in Jerusalem, and they believe that this king that they're looking for is the promised king, a godsend. And what they probably were expecting when they got there was excitement. The king, the prophecy is fulfilled. There should be like excitement and celebration, and they get there, and there's nothing. Almost as if the baby had been born and everyone missed it. So they go to the king at the time of Herod, and they tell him that the baby has been born, and they are no doubt expecting excitement, because again, the baby of prophecy. And what does the story say? Herod is troubled. And Israel is troubled. Now, if you, for those that don't know the history, Herod was a little bit of a, he's crazy. Okay? They say after his wife died, he became very paranoid about his rulership because he wasn't actually Jewish. The Romans had put him in power. And so everyone who rose up that was influential was a threat to him. And so now we're talking about a godsend of a king. Needless to say, Herod is feeling threatened. And if Herod feels threatened, and if he's going to go crazy, then Jerusalem and Judea get excited, because if Herod goes crazy, it means they're all going to suffer. And there's nervousness. And then the wise men leave and they find the baby. And when you appear before a king, it was improper to appear before him empty-handed. And so they find this promised Messiah. He's not in the stable anymore, as we typically see in the stories. It says they're in a house. Joseph has moved out of the barn and into a home. But they don't find this baby, this young child wrapped in royal robes and wearing a crown. They find a poor carpenter trying to sustain this young family. And they don't find the baby, they don't find the child, and they're not discouraged, because something in them says, this is the one. He doesn't look like a king. He doesn't look like he's royalty, but this is royalty. There's something special they set aside, and they are so filled with joy. And so they lay before him the gifts: gold, a gift fit for a king; frankincense, a gift fit for a priest; and myrrh. Myrrh was the embalming fluid they would use for a body. This was to symbolize that Jesus had come to make a sacrifice. And this evening, oh man, I got through all three phases of the day there. This evening, I wonder, as we come to Christmas tomorrow, is just mere hours away, who are we more like in the Christmas season? Do we find ourselves along the lines of the wise men who are willing to give everything? 900 miles there, 900 miles back, willing to risk weather and bandits and everything that could go wrong when you cross a desert, yet they were willing to give everything. When it came to the travel, it wasn't about them, it wasn't about the family, it wasn't about anything else. It's all about finding this king. It was all about Jesus. And so when you come to Christmas, and as you make your plans, and as you spend time with your family, what is tomorrow all about? What is this season all about? Is it about the stuff? Is it about the traditions? What is it about? Or is it about the one that Christmas is supposed to be all about? Is it all about Christ? And if it's going to be all about Christ, and the question is, what are you willing to give? You're willing to give a little bit of time tomorrow to make sure that we read the story and that your kids and your grandkids know the story of Jesus coming into the world. Are you going to give your time and get out of bed and continue to do your devotions, even though it's a holiday and you just want to stay in bed a little bit longer? Unless, of course, you have young kids, because you know they're kicking down the door at dawn. But anyways, that's a whole other thing. Are you still going to make time for Jesus? Are you still going to make time to make sure that he stays the focus? Because that's what the wise men did. Or are you going to be more like Herod? Because for Herod, the news of the king was an inconvenience. It was kind of a tack on. They were just more than happy to continue to do life as per usual. And then this news of this Messiah just troubled everyone because it changed the plan. It disrupted what he wanted to do, what he had planned to do. There's no room for anything other than what I've got planned. Are you like the wise men where it's all about Jesus tomorrow? Or you're like Herod, where it's all about me, and if I have to, I'll tack on a little bit extra for him. Because when we think about the wise men, and we think about the feat and everything that they did, the travel, those gifts weren't cheap. Gold has continued to be the one thing that is worth a lot. Frankincense would have been special and set apart and hard to get. And myrrh, who wants myrrh? But it's probably not readily available. And then despite everything the wise men gave, we are reminded that God far surpassed his gift to us. That no matter how far the wise men were willing to go, God is willing to go above and beyond for you. Paul says this in Romans 8, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? We're talking about the God who wouldn't even withhold Jesus. What else is God willing to do? How far is God willing to go? If the wise men were willing to go 900, God's willing to go to the ends of the earth for you. Paul goes on to say in Romans 8, he says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above and in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. If God's love for you is so great, then the question is as we come to the Christmas season and we realize that the epitome of that love is Christ coming to us, what are you willing to give back? How can you reciprocate the love back to the God who loves you so much? Are you going to make him the focus, or is he just a tack on? And this is all the time you're willing to give him this Christmas season. And I really hope and encourage that you fall in line with the first one. I'm going to get Kim and Michelle to come back up. We're going to sing one more song. As they get ready, we're going to light the candles. If you don't have a candle, and sneak out and grab one real quick if you have to. I'll come light the end of the rose and you guys just pass it down. But let's pray. And we'll sing and we will worship God. But let's get our eyes off of ourselves and get squarely on him. Jesus, you really are the reason for the season. Father, I pray that you would forgive us for the ways and the days that we forget that. Father, help us to reflect the heart of the wise men who were willing to give it all for you, just for a glimpse to see you. God, may we just be willing to give it all to keep you front and center this Christmas season. Help us not take Christ out of Christmas, but put him right back where you belong, Jesus. Father, encourage us, give us open doors to share the story, to share our story of how you loved us. And Jesus, may we just show you our love right back. May the love that you pour on us be so overwhelming that we can't help but to just reflect it back to you this season. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for coming. We just give you all our praise and thanks in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.